Today's Old Testament reading comes from Psalm chapter 71, verses 5 through 8. For you have been my hope, Sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. From birth I have relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you. I have become a sign to many. You are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise, declaring your splendor all day long. This is the word of the Lord.
Today's New Testament reading comes from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourselves to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. That is why we labor and strive, because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and especially of those who believe. Command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. This is the word of the Lord.
Yeah, great. Well, as you all know, today is our annual youth-led service, so our youth have planned basically every part of the service, the liturgy, they're doing all the music, and they have chosen the scripture passage for our sermon today. Their main stipulation for the sermon is that I'm not as boring as usual. So, youth, take notes. You can give me my grade afterwards, okay? Usually you guys are graded. This time you can grade me. Sound good? Sound good? Okay, great. Well, I want us to start off today by talking about the training regimen of a professional athlete, a man named Joey Chestnut. Joey Chestnut, it sounds like a fake name, but it's real, I promise. Joey Chestnut devotes his life, his commitment, his energy, his time, his focus to training in his craft. He begins his season with vigorous athletic training, long distance running, hitting the gym daily, doing special tailor-made exercises for his neck and for his jaw specifically. He goes on a strict, healthy diet of whole foods, vegetables, and lean meats, alternating this with water and lemon cleanses. He watches and listens to past competitions. He practices visualization techniques, and at the end of each week of training, he does a full trial competition, pushing himself to the limit of what humans can do. Now, does anyone know what Joey Chestnut trains for? Is there anyone? Yes? What did he train for?
Hot dogs.
Hot dogs, exactly. Joey Chestnut is a professional hot dog eater. He holds the world record of eating 76 hot dogs and buns in 10 minutes. Yes. He is the number one ranked eater in the world by the Major League Eating League. This league actually exists. Joey holds 55 Guinness World Records, making him the person with the most Guinness World Records in the world. Besides the 76 hot dogs, some other notable records are 141 hard-boiled eggs in 8 minutes, 121 Twinkies in 6 minutes, and 6.35 kilos of bologna in 8 minutes. Right? Amazing. I thought if you ate over 100 Twinkies in your lifetime, you would just die, but apparently not. You can eat way more. So this man, Joey, has devoted his entire life to training, to eating ridiculous amounts of food in very short amounts of time. This is what Joey trains for every day, all day. This is what Joey does with his life. Today we are going to be talking about training. And like Joey trains to eat food, we are all training for something with our lives, with our time, our energy, our focus, our intentions. And what we train for is really what we end up doing with our lives. We're all training, and it turns out that what we are training for matters to God. God cares deeply about our training.
So today's scripture passage that Johann read earlier and the sermon is very much an exhortation, an encouragement to followers of Jesus to live out our lives for him and to direct our training towards him. So let's pray as we get into the sermon text. Dear Lord, thank you for your words to us in the Bible. God, let us live out your words in the world. Help us to grow in loving you and loving others as we live our lives. In your name, Jesus, amen. So in the letter of 1 Timothy, Paul is writing to his disciple, Timothy, and giving him instructions relating to his ministry and the church in Ephesus. The church there is plagued by false doctrines. Instead of a focus on the living God, Jesus the Savior, many in the church have allowed their focus to shift away to become absorbed by false and meaningless things. So let's begin with reading 1 Timothy 4, 7 to 8 once more. Paul says, "Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come." So Paul tells Timothy, don't focus on these myths. Instead, keep your focus on training and godliness. And he makes this great comparison to physical training. As a person trains physically for something, for a race, or eating hot dogs, for example, one can train in godliness. Physical training has got some value, but godliness has value for all things, forever. Now, if you're a gym rat, or if you're someone who loves to work out, or if you've read enough memes on the internet, you'll have heard the word gains, or the phrase making gains. Anyone heard this phrase before? Anyone know what this means? Yeah. So to make gains means that you've been working out and your muscles are growing. So when you're at the gym, you might overhear someone say, "You're making gains, bro," right? Or here in Switzerland, they might say, "You're making gains, Brudi," right? The young people. So translated into common English for all of us, this means you're getting strong, you're getting big muscles. Good job, man. When you train in the gym, your reward is that you make gains, you build muscle. And that's not a bad thing, of course, right? Even Paul here says physical training has some value. But there's a key word here. Physical training is of some value. Physical training can be healthy, but its value is limited and it's temporary. Whatever physical gains we make, they're not gonna last. And one day, we're all gonna physically die. No matter how big our muscles are, they cannot save us from death. Now, Paul contrasts this limited temporary physical training with godliness training. Train yourself to be godly. For physical training has some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. So then, what is this training in godliness? Put simply, very simply, it is directing the whole of ourselves, our energy, our time, our focus, ability, to love and seek God. Training in godliness is working to understand God through his words in the Bible, and then living out those words in our world, empowered by the work of the Holy Spirit. It is walking prayerfully with Jesus in our daily life. We train in godliness through practicing spiritual disciplines, praying, studying the Bible, worshiping, service, confession, community. There's many, many, many ways. Training in godliness has value for everything. That's a huge statement. It's going to affect every part of our life today, our relationship with God, with our families, with our friends, our school, our work, our relationship with ourself, how we see ourselves. It's going to add value and God's goodness to our life. And it doesn't mean that life will be easier if you train in godliness. It doesn't mean it won't be without pain. But a life full of God will be better. If God created us and if he loves us, then training to live today in his ways is the best possible thing for us. This training won't just affect us today and tomorrow and next year, but it will impact the next life, eternity. As followers of Christ, we will spend eternity with our God. So back to the topic of making gains, training in godliness produces eternal gains. Imagine that. It produces gains and value that doesn't deteriorate with time. It won't be lost. It has purpose now and forever. Those are some gains to be excited about. When we work out physically, our motivations can vary. Maybe we want to be healthy. Maybe we want to look good. Maybe we think it's fun. But the motivation for training in godliness comes from something else. So let's look at verse 10 in our passage. Verse 10. Paul says, "That is why we labor and strive, because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and especially of those who believe." Our God is so good, and our hope is in this good living God, the one who first loved us, the one who first gave himself for us. He is our motivation. To glorify and please him is our motivation. As we read every Sunday, as God's forgiven people, how do we then live? Well, we train in godliness. Now, at the beginning of today, we talked about Joey Chestnut's training schedule and how we are all like Joey, training for something. We all spend our time, energy, focus, our life, really, training for whatever it is. And Paul has given us here two categories: physical training, which has some temporary limited value, and godliness training, which has value for everything forever. I want us to use these two categories today: temporary limited value versus full eternal value, to reflect on our own lives. Am I focusing my training, focusing my life on things of temporary limited value or on things of full eternal value? Okay, so I want you to all imagine this with me. This is a thought experiment, okay? So put your thinking cap on. It's about to get a bit weird. Imagine there's an alien in a spaceship that is orbiting around Earth. And this alien is an anthropologist, which means that this alien wants to learn about and study human behavior and study human beings. And this alien has an amazing telescope, and it's been watching you and your life for the past year, writing down notes, seeing how you use your energy, your time, what you really care about. The alien's collected enough data, and today it decides to come down and meet you. So it flies down, lands a spaceship just outside your house, just outside your apartment, rings your doorbell, you buzz it in, let it come up, right? You offer it some coffee, it says no, it doesn't drink liquids, obviously, it's an alien. What were you thinking? You both sit down on the couch, and the alien says to you, "Well, I've been observing you for the past year, studying you, seeing how you use your time, and it's clear to me that you are training for..." If you're honest with yourself, what would this impartial observing alien think that you are training your life for? What would it think is the point of your whole life? Would it say, "It's clear to me that you've been training for a Netflix watching tournament. You've been making great strides recently. You watched 16 episodes last Tuesday without blinking. Amazing human feat." Or would it say, "It's clear to me that you exist, your purpose is to make your company lots of money, to make your shareholders rich. You haven't stopped working in 12 days. You've barely cared about your health or your stress or anything else. What dedication." Or would it say, "It's clear to me you're training for a popularity contest. You've been selling out your values to try and be cool every day for the past year. Impressive lack of integrity." Right, there's an endless possibilities what this alien could say about our lives. Or would that alien, that impartial observer, say, "It's clear to me by the way you spend your time and your energy that you are training to serve your God, to love your God and others. You couldn't stop reading your Bible. You couldn't stop praying. You couldn't stop loving your family and your friends and being kind and just and empathetic. You were always so concerned about the other humans before yourself. You're training for your God. You're training hard. By the way we spend our time and our energy, we're all training for something, whether that's of limited value or eternal value. And the question we need to ask ourselves is, have we allowed something of limited, short-term meaning, not of ultimate importance, like eating hot dogs, to dominate our lives, to be the main focus of our lives, to take that prominent place in our hearts and in our minds? Or are we purposely training in godliness, placing God as the main focus of our lives, taking God more seriously than anything else, training and walking with him, which is of eternal significance and eternal value? So our first point for today is this. Ask yourself, what are you training for? What is dominating your life? Godliness or something meaningless? All right, let's move to our next verses. So everyone can look at verses 11 and 12. So Paul says to Timothy, command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Paul's words to Timothy are very relevant to us today. Those of you who are young, don't let anyone look down on you for your age. And set an example for all of those around you, whether they're younger than you or whether they're older than you. Now, defining young, who is young and who is not always an easy thing. Within the past few months, I've had one of our teenagers call me the middle-aged youth pastor, and someone older in our congregation call me a young growing boy who needs to eat more food to grow. So, depending on how you define young, Timothy may or may not have been that young. Timothy was probably in his 30s, mid-30s, even up to 40 years old at this time. But I think Paul's command here is very applicable for anyone who could be somewhat considered young. So whether you're a child, a teenager, a young adult, or 40 even, or young in your faith, these verses have importance for us. As a young person in this world, in the Christian faith, a huge temptation is to momentarily put aside our devotion to God in favor of our own pleasure now. Put aside God for now to please and live for ourselves. Our world, the culture that most of us live in, teaches us that being young, being a kid, a teen, a young adult, is all about carelessness, fun, making mistakes, doing what you want, being irresponsible while you still can. Morals, those are for the future. Living and doing something meaningful, that's for the future. God, he's for the future. When I'm older, when I've had all my fun, I'll settle down, I promise. I'll do something meaningful. I'll care about God then. But now is for me. The bar set in our society is very low for young people. It's basically non-existent. Almost no one in our wider society would say that we should look up to our youth, that they should set good examples for those around them. Now, the late Henry Nouwen, so Henry Nouwen was a Catholic theologian and writer and scholar, some of you may know him, he writes this in a devotional of his. He says, we seldom realize fully that we are sent to fulfill God-given tasks. We act as if we were simply dropped down in creation and have to decide how to entertain ourselves until we die. Now, I think this quote is spot on and almost scarily relevant to us today, in our culture today, especially to those who are young. We act as if we were simply dropped down in creation and have to decide how to entertain ourselves until we die. When I was 18, finishing up my time in high school, I vividly remember having this thought. The point of my life, my goal, my meaning, is to have as much fun as I possibly can before I die. I wanted to live for fun, for entertainment, for my own pleasure. And man, I came to realize how quickly that existence became hollow and empty and sad and meaningless. Fun is not enough, and distraction is not enough. It cannot fulfill us. Our pleasures are fleeting. We were made for more than that. No matter what age we are, nothing can replace God in our lives, the only one who brings true joy and love and peace. The culture our God desires for us and that he teaches us in the Bible is radically different and more wonderful. God calls us to a loving, deep, beautiful relationship and devotion to him, no matter how old we are, from childhood. And what God offers for young people is infinitely better compared to the shallow carelessness that our world sells to us. What God offers us now, no matter how old or how young, is true joy, true meaning, peace, love, and life. Things that no one and nothing else will give you, no matter what it promises. The things we are truly looking for and desiring, even in our youth, God can provide. So if you're young, don't miss out on God. He's better than anything else. And this sweetness is not just for older people, but it's for you as well. Now, let's read verse 12 one more time. It says, "Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity." God is calling us to something radical and countercultural here. Young people, don't just follow God with your life, but set the example with your life for others. Set the standard, set the bar. We're all training for something, train in godliness. And don't just train in godliness, but be the trainer. Become the trainer, even as you are young. Through your life, as Paul says, your speech, your words, your conduct, your actions, through your deep love for God and others, through your unwavering faith, through the purity of your life and your battle against sin and your devotion to God, set an example. Don't just train in godliness, but become the trainer. Be the training instructor for those both younger than you and those older than you. All right, one last story. In Chiang Mai, where I grew up, a lot of the malls there had huge parking lots. And in the evenings, after the mall was closed down and all the cars had cleared out, these parking lots had a second life, a second use. There would be a big stage that sat permanently in the parking lot, and it had massive speakers. And people would flock to the parking lot every evening. And there would be a trainer, a leader, on the stage. And the trainer would blast really, really, really loudly, hype music, and the trainer on the stage would lead a workout to the music. And there would be 100 people, or more, hundreds even, out in the parking lot, watching the trainer, following along with the moves, getting their workout in. There were all kinds of people there. Entire families, kids, teenagers, adults, the elderly, boys, girls, inevitably some stray dogs and cats would kind of wander through, right? The instructor was usually pretty young, and they were usually very good at the workout, right? They aced the moves. They set a standard for excellence for the crowd of all ages, all walks, to follow. When you looked at the crowd, though, let's just say their performance and their motivation varied. Some in the crowd were very focused, really learning, really training hard. Others kind of did the moves half-heartedly, getting a bit of a workout in, but they're also looking at their phone, on Facebook, calling, texting. And then inevitably, there were those who were completely distracted, right? Going and petting the stray dogs or eating some pork and sticky rice, right? A zero for effort. No matter what the people in the crowd were doing, though, whether they were focused and learning or distracted, it didn't affect the trainer's behavior. The trainer did their best, did excellently, tried to teach the others the workout. Whether the others chose to follow or listen or learn was up to them, the people in the crowd. The trainer couldn't control them. So what's my point here? Well, young people, and really everyone who's a follower of Jesus, as Paul says, train in godliness, seek God with your life, and in so doing, set an example for the people and the Christians around you. Be like the trainer up on that stage. Seek excellence and set the bar high. Let those who interact with you and see you see your great example. Be the trainer. All kinds of people and all kinds of Christians are going to interact with you. Those older than you, those younger, those who are motivated and watching, who want to learn, those who are kind of lukewarm, and those who are distracted and not interested in learning a single thing. There will be people who encourage you, and there will be people who look down on you for your age and for really a whole number of things, just like they did to Timothy. But whatever those around you choose to do, those in the crowd, God calls all of us to the same thing. Don't be discouraged by those who might look down on you. Train in godliness, love and seek God, and set that example. Be the trainer, no matter what the people around you choose to do themselves. Be faithful to God. That's all you can do. And God will glorify himself, and he'll work through you. All right, so let's wrap up. Our God is so good. Let's respond to his goodness by training in godliness. Not training for something meaningless, but training in godliness, which is of eternal value. Young people, God calls you to a different life and culture than the world around us, to a life full of purpose and love. And he calls us not just to train in godliness, but to become the trainer, to set that example, whether those around us choose to follow or not. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for your words to us in the Bible. God, help us to take you more seriously than anything else in our lives. Let us train in godliness. Let us reflect on our own lives each day, reflect on what we are valuing, what we're thinking about, what we're doing with our time and our energy, and let us purposely take you more seriously than anything else, God. As we live out our lives, let us also be humble. Let us learn from our Christian sisters and brothers around us. Let us learn from the older Christians in our lives, and let us learn from the younger Christians in our lives. In your name, Jesus, amen.